for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, September the 3rd, 2004. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monty Mulkey of Thousand Oaks, California, is the minister thousands of times. But it's a privilege to have Monty Mulkey here with us this evening. We've known him for quite a while. He's been here several times. And I trust he'll be able to work in to come back again. But he has a nice little church in Thousand Oaks, California. Had it there for about 20 years, something close to that. People call and want to know someplace out in that area, and we sick him over to Monty. And I thank the Lord that he's there to be a blessing, and he is a blessing.
She come with me. She traveled often, but it didn't work out this time. And she comes and ministers to the ladies as well. So hopefully next time I get to bring her along with me. Hey, praise the Lord. I'm going to talk about discernment tonight. How's your discernment? How many of you would like to grow in discernment? You know, if I can use Glenn as an example here, you know, when he started out and he shared about Derek Prince being in the house and looking over his library, as he said, he hadn't discerned those things. But he gave an excellent example, same type of thing, when he was on the plane home. He knew that he couldn't speak to the young girl that was beside him. That's discernment. And how many of you have ever been in a situation where you would say, oh my, where was my discernment? Yeah? Hey, well, maybe you all never thought that, but you might think that, well, where's their discernment? You know, how could they ever do such a thing? Well, that's how I got into this message. You know, I've been in deliverance about 28 years now. I had never heard a message on discernment. I don't know, maybe you folks have, but I'd never heard one before. I was taken for granted that everybody knew what it was and knew everything about it, and they had it if you were a deliverance worker, and that's just not always so. The only reason that this message came about was because a situation happened in my church a while back, and a few of my people got caught up in something that it astonished me, one of those kind of things, and I was praying. I said, Lord, how could they get trapped in that? Where was their discernment? And that was my question. The more I prayed about it, the more I thought about it, and the Lord just poked me and said, why don't you teach about discernment then? That would be good, wouldn't it? And so I taught on it, and the last time I taught on discernment, it took me 6 hours to get through. So I hope you don't have a bedtime or anything. I'll try and condense it a little bit tonight. What is discernment? What do you do with it? That's a good question. What do you do with discernment? You know, usually what you do with discernment is nothing. Discernment that's given is not for you to necessarily go and do something with. It's for knowledge. The main purpose of discernment is protection. It's to protect you. That's what discernment is for. God gives us discernment. Primary reason is for us to be protected. It's for knowledge. It's to be able to distinguish, to recognize, to tell apart, to be able to perceive something. Well, as I started studying this, there's many different verses in the Bible about discernment. Let me give you some more definition. The Greek meaning of discernment means to learn by discrimination, to try, to determine, to decide a dispute. The Hebrew meaning is to be able to observe, to perceive, to give a judgment. The Greek meaning for discerner is to be skilled in judging, to be able to relate in judging. How many of you have ever had the scripture used against you? Now, don't judge. You're just judging me. You know what I say, I come right back with? I said, yes, a spiritual man is supposed to judge all things. And that usually ends the argument. But in honesty, that's two different meanings for the word judging. Now, when they say, don't judge me, that word, judging, means don't pass sentence on me. And we're not supposed to. God is the only one that passes sentence. But we are to judge all things. And the word judge all things means to discern all things. Okay? And you need the reference. That's 1 Corinthians 2:15. That's where that at. There are two closely connected words to discernment. Now, mark these. And as you read along in your Bible, you know, by the way, it's not a sin to mark up your Bible. Go ahead and mark it all up, and once you have every verse marked up, then you can get a new Bible, okay? They'll make more. But every time you run across the words, two other words, now we're studying discernment, but there are two other words that basically mean the same thing, that you wouldn't pick this up. And it's the word understanding, or to understand and to perceive. And I said it several times, that the Greek meaning is to perceive. So you can interchange in your scriptures pretty much the words perceiving, understanding, or discerning. And they have the same basic meaning, each one. Now, I want to cover several areas with this and why about discernment. Number one is its importance to us as believers, especially for deliverance workers. And what things it is that we're supposed to discern, and what are some of the common hindrances to discernment. Hopefully I'll get through it all tonight. So let's begin with the importance of it. It's very important. It's important to God. It's important for the life of a believer. It's important to be able to know your own sin. Okay? If you have your Bible, open to Hebrews 5:14. And I have a lot of scriptures tonight, and I apologize for this, but I went through and I sorted out the ones that were duplicates, and I took out two of them. So it's still going to take a lot of time, but what I'm saying is I may just read through it, and you write down the address. Okay?
What was the address?
Hebrews 5:14. We'll start with this one. It's important. It's important to God, to the life of a believer, especially the deliverance worker. One of the best ways to grow in discerning ability is by doing deliverance. Hebrews 5:14, let's say, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, underline those three words, reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay? Beginning with this verse, you'll see that discernment is linked to spiritual growth. Okay? And how it's done, how your spiritual growth is affected, is through reason of use. The more you use it, the better you get at it. Like doing exercises. When you first started trying to do a sit-up, and oh my gosh, one or two pretty near killed you, right? And if you continued on, pretty soon you could do 15, 20 and say, hey, I'm really growing. A year or two later, you could probably do a couple hundred by reason of use. Maybe not all of us. I mean, I'm not there, but on sit-ups. But discernment, yeah, reason of use. So how do you view reason of use? Being a deliverance pastor, we have deliverance at the close of every service. One reason is for reason of use. It's like what we did when we were playing basketball in school. We had scrimmages. We practiced, and it was hard and tough, and the coaches were almost mean. But when the game came, it was a walk in the park because we practiced. And that's a lot of times what God does as you churches are supposed to be ministering in deliverance all the time. And you get sharp, you keep getting more and more sharp, and God keeps bringing you more things to learn how to discern more and more things. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man, because they don't have the Holy Spirit, they don't discern anything. Now, I know a lot of Christians that are in the same category. Even though they're Christian, they don't discern anything. And part of the reason is they don't receive the things of the Spirit of God because their discernment is so lacking or so immature. And it's okay to start there, but we're to grow in discernment. 1 Corinthians 11:19. I won't touch on this too long, but it says that he that takes the Lord's Supper, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Okay? There are several different kinds of communion. One communion you can take, which is not really a communion, you open up the doors for sickness and death, so on. Okay? But people have lacked discernment in the types of communion. Versus, for example, is it a memorial? Is it transubstantiation? Is it there's another something or other substantiation or whatever? But one is a cup of devils. Yeah, thank God. And the reason people get caught in this and receive demons is because discernment didn't operate in them. That's a message all in itself. I got to move on. 1 Corinthians 12:10. Here we see that it's very important in the life of a believer. It goes through the list. To one, it gives a working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues, other interpretation of tongues. Okay? The gift of discernment is so important if you're going to be a deliverance worker. Okay? And if, in order to, you really need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how much deliverance, how much better it goes once you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And with that, the Holy Spirit will give discernment. And it's one of the things that I've seen, for example, in my church and some of the churches, that people, when they come up to pray deliverance, they're discernment and just sharp, and the Lord just speak to them and give them names of demons, and they do very well at church, but they go home and it's like, it's gone. What happened to it? And so it's what they had practiced. What did they have they exercised often? At home, they didn't practice or use discernment much, so they hadn't grown very much in the skill and usage of it. But at church, they can get pretty good. Here's another reason why it's so important. 1 John 3:16. How many of you really feel that God loves you? Okay. We had this last night. Do you know that God loves you, Jesus loves you with the same kind of love that the Father loves Jesus? And dwell on that for a while. That'll really sink into you. Jesus loves you just as much as the Father loves Jesus. How do you suppose the Father loved His Son? Doing deliverance, I run across so many people that feel God doesn't love me. He's abandoned me. He's not there for me. He's an absentee father. Okay? Why do we need discernment? 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. The word perceive, same word as the word discern. Okay? Discernment is important in the life of a believer, to know that you know that you know that God loves you. And one of the reasons why some of us have issues with God is because of the various things that are blocking our discernment. Okay? So as you grow in discernment, you'll also grow in this ability to know that God loves you, that He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Another very important reason to grow in discernment is to be able to know your own sin. 1 Samuel 12:17. Let's go there. 1 Samuel 12:17 says, "Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and He shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great." Discern. Instead of perceive, switch it with discern. "That you may discern and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking for a king." To be able to know your own sin, to be able to know instantly you do something and the Holy Spirit says, don't do that, or you need to take care of that was wrong. This is, haven't found this word in the dictionary yet, but are you convictable? And this is one of the things I look for as a pastor in my sheep. Can they be convicted of their sins? Are they a person that the Holy Spirit can just speak to them that when they've done something, a sin, and that they would repent and turn from it? A lot of people are not convictable. They're hard-hearted and they don't hear the Lord's voice. Discernment is there so that we can know when we've sinned, so that we can deal with it, fix it. 1 John 1:9. Isaiah 6:9, and he said, "Go, tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not." Okay. The word understand, again, can be discerned. You hear, but you don't discern. You see indeed, but you do not perceive. What's lacking is discernment. Some people hear and see, but they don't discern. Matthew 13:14. Says the same thing. By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. Seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Similar verse found in Mark 7:18. This is one I thought of. I like this one. In John 4:19, the woman said unto Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." She said, "I discern that you're a prophet." Other cases, when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Turning to his disciples, who is it that they say that I am? Who do you think that I am? The response, "Thou art the Christ," that's discernment. He said, "Flesh and blood has not shown you these things." I don't know where that verse is at. That just popped in my mind. Turn to Acts 27:9. Let me show you an example of discernment in use. Acts 27:9. This is concerning Paul. It says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, 'Sirs, I discern that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives.' Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Great example of discernment and use, where somebody didn't believe it, and yet Paul had it. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, albeit we must be cast upon a certain island.'" Now, that's an example of discernment in use, and discernment where it was rejected, discernment where it was given. How often does heartache, shipwreck happen to God's people? Because they won't listen to discernment. Amen or oh me. I mean, all of us, you know, I don't know anybody that's perfectly schooled in it, but Jesus. If anybody had the purest line of communication or discernment, it would have been Jesus. But there's times when all of us, we just miss it. You know, tiredness or whatever. So we, all of us can benefit and grow by this. Luke 9:47. Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. I'm just pulling this out of an example. Here it says, Jesus discerned the thoughts of their heart. You know, discernment is so powerful. We can't tell what's going on in another person's heart. God can. God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of others, of all hearts. But the Holy Spirit, given that discernment, can give you what's going on in somebody else's heart. And many times, you'll just know things. You'll know something that somebody's feeling a way about you or so on. One of the things I hope to accomplish is that I can get many of you to start trusting your spirit and discernment that you have. If you're Christ, discernment is freely to be given to each and every one of us. And to trust your spirit. Acts 14:8, example of discernment and use. "There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving or discerning that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Now, having discernment from the Holy Spirit really can save us a lot of time. Who do we pray for? Who shouldn't we pray for? And here we see Paul perceiving that this person had faith to be healed. And he was. Discernment in use. James chapter 2, verse 1. I need to put this example in here. My brethren, chapter 2, verse 1. Have not faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and you say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and you draw you before the judgment seats? There's so many things that we hope to gain from other people. Lust of the flesh, greed. What was the reason why somebody, like in this section on James, why would they give favor to somebody over somebody else? Because they thought they could get something back in return. We could say, where was their discernment? Right? There's a few examples. As I've been working on this area, and especially being a pastor of a church, helping the various people to grow in assurance with discernment, working on this message, I said, well, Lord, what are the hindrances? And so I prayed and I said, Lord, show me the different hindrances, first of all in Scripture, and then also you just learn by consequence of time of doing something, by the nature of deliverance, you learn certain things that hinder people's discernment. And so I'm going to give you a list of things that in all of these things, these are things that if you had involvement in, probably need some deliverance. Because if you have spirits, evil spirits have come into these areas, they work to block your discernment. Either block it, block your hearing from hearing, or to get you to override your spirit. You ever been convinced to get something and you say, I knew I shouldn't have listened to that. I knew I shouldn't have followed that person's advice. That's what these demons do. Proverbs 31:4. I always make a lot of enemies wherever I go and preach this because there's always a great number of demons with this area. But this is the area of alcohol. And the reason I can preach this is because this was my first area of deliverance that I started in when I was 21 years of age. And so I lived through this. And I have a hatred to what those spirits did to me on this. My testimony is in the booklet back there on breaking alcoholic patterns. A lot of people think that they're free from alcohol spirits because they don't have any desire to drink anymore. That's not so. The drinking just lets demons in. People say, well, you think I'm committing a sin by drinking? No, I didn't say that. I just said it's not wise. If you drink, you'll open the door for evil spirits to come in. If you want them, you can have them. But they're not very profitable. Proverbs 31, verse 4. This is the mother talking to her young son. She says, It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine. If you still drink a little wine for your stomach's sake, well, let me put it this way. If you want to be in the king's service, if you want to be a king for the Lord, wherever you find that God had given someone spiritual authority throughout Scripture, he asked them to abstain from drinking. And the reason is right here. So I guess it all depends on what you want to do with your life. If you want to do much for the Lord, wine drinking is going to get in the way of that. And the reason right here is because it's going to block your discernment. It is not for princes to drink strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment. Okay? Alcohol spirits hinder people from having discernment. And that I know from work casting out spirits, alcohol spirits for the last 28 years. People grow in discernment as they start getting rid of those spirits. The spirit of stupor, if your mind is in a stupor, if you're not thinking, or you know, you've lost your keenness of senses. Look at Hosea 4:10, another verse. It says, "For they shall eat and not have enough, they shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart." Why it's so important for God people to stay clean is sexual sins and alcohol destroy your heart. Very, very plain. They destroy your heart. They take away your heart. "My people ask counsel at their stocks. Their staff declare unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err. They have gone a-whoring from under their God." Those things, both the spirits that are in the sexual area or the use of alcohol, will destroy your ability to have sharp discernment. You'll make a mistake. You'll pervert the law. You'll pervert the judgment. Drugs will do the same thing. And drugs, alcohol, it's the same thing, only drugs a little bit quicker. You know, I read a test here a while back that they had taken EKG readings, brainwave readings as well, after a person smoked one joint. And those readings were decreased to the same level of what a 12-year-old would have. The things that we do to our mind and our body destroy that and affect. We need our mind to be able to reason together. We need our mind to be able to function, to have the mind of Christ, to our mind to be renewed. Because your mind is very important, working in conjunction with discernment. So is your heart. You need your heart to be able to have discernment. How many of you have, you could say, you could be driving down the road, and if the Holy Spirit would say, "Stop, don't go that way, go this way," would you obey that? Or would you say, "Nah, I drive this way every day. There's nothing wrong with going this way." In California, if you do that and you go that way, you'll run into the traffic jam, and you'll be there for 5 or 6 hours. That would be the best thing that could happen to you. The worst thing is that you could be in the middle of a 30-car pileup. Discernment given to protect us. We are to be so sharp in our discernment that the Holy Spirit can just say, "Stop right now." And you stop. "Yes, Lord. Well, what do you want me to do?" To be able to follow them. Second hindrance, and this is probably harder for people to discern and very common, what I call ungodly soul ties. This is the people that you keep company with. Throughout Scripture, we're admonished to not be unequally yoked. That's probably in here later. Turn to Proverbs 1:1. And the book of Proverbs is so good, but this is a father trying to instill some discernment into his young son. "Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding," to have discernment, "to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall obtain under wise counsels." To understand a proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise are dark saying, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Okay. This whole section is basically talking about growing in discernment, growing in following, being led of the Spirit. I probably won't have time, but when I finished this teaching at home on discernment, the next message I did after that was the deliverance on the simple spirit. Okay. And this is a spirit that many people have. And this is what the father was doing in Proverbs, to give subtlety, to give discernment to the simple. And the simple spirit is a spirit, it's listed throughout Scripture in various places, that you'll miss things. It's very close to being naive. I remember when I first got into deliverance, my pastor used to say all the time, says, "Some people think they have discernment, they just have the gift of suspicion." It wasn't discernment at all. You know, and I run into that too every once in a while. You meet somebody that says, they'll come up and they discern something at work. And, you know, there is a difference. Some people think they have discernment, and it's what I would call street smarts. Okay? There are a number of people that have, they've learned street smarts in the world. Grew up as a young boy in school, and first day you go to school, the bullies beat you up. The second day they beat you up. The third day they beat you up. You know, and after a while you start wising up to that, and you learn how to take care of yourself, and you learn how to do that. A lot of people guide their entire Christian life by street smarts, their own experience, their own knowledge. I'll give you a good example. If you were raised in an alcoholic home, you developed a certain street smart. Okay? When to speak, when not to speak. Yeah? Walking on eggshells is like, time to make myself scarce. Okay? And they learn a level of perception, I guess, of what's going on. They start reading things. And that's just a natural thing that a human being would do. But if you're using that as discernment, it's going to mislead you. Because we need discernment from God, because we have supernatural enemies. Let's go on, back to Proverbs. Verse 8, Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, forsake not the law of your mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Let me stop there. I'm talking about ungodly soul ties, what keeps people from growing in discernment, or blocks your discernment. Without discernment, you will form leagues, a league, a connection, a soul tie with the wrong people, not discerning their spirit. This is what Proverbs, the father, is writing to his son. You know, get all this understanding, discernment, wisdom. Verse 10, because this is the reason why. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay in wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Goes on and on. Verse 14. Cast in your lot among us, and let us all have one purse. Throw all your money into one purse, and then pretty soon you're the only one that's put the money in, and they spent your money. My son, walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways. Now, it changes tense here. It says, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which take away the life of the owners thereof. Now, every once in a while, Scripture really just tips us off, and you don't need a lot of discernment, because it says so right in God's Word. And when you were a child and this big furry animal came by and you'd never seen one before, had a big long tail and almost would knock you down and went woof, and you said, Mommy, what is that? She said, it was a dog. Pretty soon after a while, you would recognize that's a dog by reason of use. You didn't have to go ask anybody. After a few years in deliverance, you get with certain spirits. You just learn to recognize them because of their, they have webbed feet, little curly feathers, and a beak. And go, quack, quack. That's right, that's a cow. No, it's a duck. And so we always say, if it looks like a duck and acts like a duck, it must be a duck. That's reason of use. This is one of those examples right here. The writer of Proverbs says to his son, these are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. Don't go with them. It's so simple. Okay? When you're around somebody and you find out that their entire life is just lust, it's just the world, it's all their whole life is just talking about making money and how can I get more and get more and get more. Their heart isn't concerned about the things of God. Run. Okay? And that's what this says. At first, you might need discernment, but after a while, as you're around that a while, you go, hey, wait a minute, this is not good companionship. It's going to entrap me. Proverbs 2:5. Then shalt thou understand or perceive or discern the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment, equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks forward things. We could put it this way, that discernment is to protect us from the evil man, someone that speaks forward things. I mean, it sounds good. So often we override things, and our heart is saying, danger, warning, yellow lights are flashing, sirens are going off, the women's antennas are going, honey, did you see that? See what? She didn't feel that? Sometimes certain people just pick up on their heart more. A lot of times women are more in tune with their heart, and that's what I'm trying to say. And they can pick up things, because guys, they've overrode their emotions for so long, they don't hear their heart. And so that doesn't make sense. Well, it would make sense to turn away from a perfectly good road down to a road that's going to take you longer to get somewhere. Right? Sometimes discernment will go against your thinking. They will protect thee. Verse 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger which flatters with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go in unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the path of righteousness. In ministering to so many people around the world, most Christians get entrapped right here. It's not being able to discern who to be with and who not to be with. They make friends, they spend time with wrong people. They form leagues with people, who they marry, where they go to church. We could just go on and on. That so much of our hurts, heartaches, our problems are caused by being around the wrong people. And regret is a powerful thing. You ever live in regret and say, you know what, I knew better. My heart was telling me. I want you to start trusting your spirit. Better to hesitate and say, Lord, I'm not at peace with this. Will you speak unto me again? If I'm not hearing you right, Lord, then talk to me. Better to wait and get into trouble, right? That's the second thing I put down is the ungodly soul ties, or making leagues with people. Let me just put in a couple examples. You know, there's one verse that if I could give to all the young ladies before they get married, this would save so many divorces. It says, have no friendship with an angry man. And guys as well. I mean, there are women that have anger too. You know, it says, have no friendship with somebody with a temper problem. When you find out that they can't control their temper, run. Okay? Run. Because they're going to, it's going to bite you. Okay? You're going to have problems. There's going to be abuse. There's going to be some kind of problem because they have no control over their own spirit, over their own life. Okay? They're not marriage material, in other words. Just run away. And if they say, why are you leaving me? And they say, because Pastor Monty says you need a lot of deliverance. And I said, well, what do I do? And say, well, come to my church for 3 years and we'll check and see how you're doing at that time, whether you're marriage material or not. Because the term of a novice is for 3 years. The term of a hireling is 3 years. You can't tell. Now, he may be able to pull the wool over your eyes for a few days and maybe over me for a little bit, but not after 3 years. I'll give you another verse. It says, be not entangled again. That's not it. I mentioned it earlier about being ungodly, unequally yoked with unbelievers. Okay? It is scripturally wrong. I don't know who this is for tonight because it's not my message. It is scripturally wrong if you're a Christian to marry a non-Christian. You can't say the Lord told me. No, because it would be contrary to His word. You are unequally yoked. Your father-in-law will be the devil. Okay, you're going to go home, you're going to be with your new husband, and you'll be in bed with your father-in-law, the devil. He'll be at every meal. He'll be with you wherever you go. And you're going to come and say, "Help me, Pastor Mike, I'm so tormented by my father-in-law." Well, you have to go back and confess the sin that you disobeyed God's word. So that's hard. Well, yes, it is. Nobody said it would be easy. But that's the reason that's given to us is to protect us. Okay? I can't tell you the number of people that come and cry to me because of, you know, these kind of decisions. Say, you know, I knew better. My mother told me not to. You know, that God puts a certain knowing in parents whether someone's going to be a good spouse or not. That has nothing to do whether they're good parents or not. They just know because God puts that into a parent as counsel, as guidelines. And if your parents say, "What are you doing?" that should be a clue. If the rest of all of your friends and the rest of the world says, "What are you doing with that person?" that should be a clue. Okay? Because one of the things about discernment, especially in deliverance churches, is almost always unanimous. That's one of my checks and balances. If I'm not sure, I'll ask the church. You know, I'll just go around and say, "What do you think about whatever?" And, you know, it's amazing. I'll go around and almost unanimous discernment. Okay, I feel pretty good now. The Holy Spirit's not going to give different discernment to different people on the same thing. So if everybody in the world tells you don't marry that person, you might bear well with that. That's a sermon that I don't know who that's for, but you're welcome. Might save you a lot of heartache and tears. Better to be single than wish you were. The third area, and this is probably most common of all, why we have difficulties with discernment, is we just override our spirit. So many times, God did speak. The Holy Spirit did speak, and we just override it. No, that can't be. They've been in church for 20 years. How can they be an angel of light? Happens all the time. We get about one witch a year comes through the church. And they either completely blow up because they can't stand the pressure of being around deliverance. And they get exposed in time. Or they get saved. You know, sometimes that happens. A good example of overriding one's spirit, it doesn't say this, but I think it's what happened, is Joshua. Joshua is one of my favorite characters. He's one of my heroes. You know, he had such a good track record. There is hardly anything recorded in the negative about Joshua, except for one time, and that's in the case of the moldy shoes and the moldy bread. And the enemy came up and said, "Oh, we've come from afar off down the block. Look, our shoes are wore out, and the bread was fresh when we started out, and now it's all moldy." He didn't stop to pray about it. He said, "Well, come on in." He made a league with them, and they were a thorn in the side from there on. That's a good scripture example. If you're not sure of something, would it have been a different story if Joshua would have said, "Lord, what about this?" Maybe God did give him discernment, and he just said he overrode it. Happens a lot. Number four, the fourth area that I find hinders discernment is what I call religious spirits. Excuse me, Matthew 16:3. Now, a great number of us spent years in church before we ever got into deliverance. And so many of us, there's a lot of things that we learned that just aren't so. Matthew 16:3. In the morning, Jesus speaking to the scribes, Pharisees, says, "In the morning it will be foul weather today." You'll say that, "For the sky is red and lowering." "Oh, you hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." Religious spirits. The spirits that the scribes and Pharisees had, spirits of legalism, blocked them from being able to discern the things of God. Found again in Luke 12:56. "You hypocrites, how is it that you cannot discern this time?" Discernment gets, the lack of discernment gets a lot of people in trouble in this area. Who do you have lay hands on you and who shouldn't you? Now, I tell everybody that comes into my church, if you're not comfortable with who's coming to pray for you, then stop it. That's your... You're the one that has to protect you. Now, when we have deliverance going on in my church, I'm almost always there. And my eagle eyes, you know, I'm watching all the time, make sure that everybody is kept safe and that there's nothing going on that shouldn't be going on. But if something inside you says, I'm not comfortable with this, then stop it and go find someone that you are comfortable with. Because you just don't know. The fifth area deals with our heart, a hardened heart. If our heart has been hardened, you'll have trouble with discernment. And by this can be, this is a big topic. I taught 16 messages on the bound heart. We just got done with that at home. Bound emotions. If you can't cry, if your emotions are all bound up and you're stoic, you're going to have trouble hearing your heart, which many times the Holy Spirit speaks through your heart with discernment or His voice. So all of our soul needs to be free, our mind, our will, our emotions. And if you've been so damaged in your life in one of those areas, if your mind has been hardened with alcohol and drugs, it's going to affect your ability to discern, hear from God. If your emotions have been all tore up, I grew up in the part of the country I grew up in, you heard constantly as a little boy, men don't cry. Snuff that up, you know. And so I quit crying, and pretty soon my whole stomach was just a bowl of knots. And when I got into deliverance, I think I cried for about 6 months straight. So I just had to untie all that before I could have emotions. People come to me and say, Pastor Molly, my emotions are bound up. I said, well, okay. When we get done untying them, you'll feel all of the emotions. The whole range of emotions. Because God created emotions. He created them for us to feel them. Because they speak to us. Mark 8:17. When Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? This was the disciples. And he said, guys, why are you reasoning? Can't you discern? Have you your heart yet hardened? Jesus spoke, this is very specific, a hardened heart is going to affect your ability to discern, to be able to hear discernment, to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. So whatever's going on in your emotions, and believe me, we could spend an entire weekend just on this. If there's unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, those kind of things, you have to work through that. It may take you a while. People say, why does deliverance take so long? I said, well, because it could take someone 6 months to finally decide that they're going to forgive somebody who abused them or hurt them. You know, and in the meantime, God just continues to try to encourage them, but deliverance ain't going to happen until the forgiveness does. Okay? And then the healing of the wounds and so forth can take a lot of time. So the condition of your heart. And this is why the longer you're in deliverance, the more healing and the more deliverance you receive from God, the more you're going to grow in discernment. Okay? So what to discern? We're going to go to another section. This is very important. This is really needed for leadership, especially if you're going to be responsible for the souls of anybody else. As Doc was teaching this afternoon, if you're going to be pastor, God will require us. We're responsible for the souls of those under us. There's a whole list of things of what we are to discern. Here's a good example, Acts 8:23. I won't read the whole thing. You can go back and study it. It says, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, the bond of iniquity, discernment. 1 Kings 3:9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Now, this was one of my prayers when I first got into deliverance. I prayed this, Lord, I want to grow up. I want to be a man of God. I feel just like this, not even knowing what I was praying. But look at this. that I may discern between good and bad. Well, shouldn't that be obvious? Shouldn't it be obvious to discern between good and bad? No, it's not. Because the bad that you need to discern between is going to be hidden. The enemy is going to come as an angel of light. He's going to come, and we need supernatural revelation from God to discern the differences, to say, you know, that's good, well, that's bad. If I give you a glass of milk and just put a little bit of arsenic or strychnine in it, would you drink it? It looks good, doesn't it? You say, no, that milk is bad. How many ever smell rotten milk? Did you drink it? Then it's like, this is bad. I can tell right away. I don't even have to sip it because I did that once before. What's terrible is if you get up in the middle of the night and you don't turn the lights on and you go to the refrigerator and you grab a glass of something and it's like, oh. That's how I learn. Sitting in there too long, you know. I trusted my nose from then on. We need to discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this? Thy so great a people. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. You know what he asked for? Solomon said, you know what, Lord? I need discernment. Of all the things that he could have prayed for, that's what he was asking for, Lord. I need discernment. If I'm going to lead your people, I've got to have your discernment. Don't leave me to myself, God. I need to hear from you. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked thyself for long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thy enemies. His heart was right. He wasn't greedy. But hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy works. And lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. Oh, wait a minute. Stop. He prayed for discernment. He asked for discernment. What did he get? A wise and understanding heart. The heart is very important for discernment. The state, the quality, the state of your emotions is very important. Now, God can give you a new heart if it's really bound up and hard-hearted. If it is, it's going to affect discernment. So the Lord says, Solomon, I've given you an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. What's Solomon known for? His wisdom. How many of you know that it wasn't his IQ or the size of his brain why he had such wisdom? It was his wise and understanding heart where he had the wisdom. You'll do your greatest thinking from your heart. Your heart thinks. Your heart feels. The Holy Spirit will work through your heart. That's a whole message I have there on out of my heart series. It wasn't Solomon's IQ. It was his heart that God gave him that he could discern. I like the rest goes on. Given him an understanding heart so that there was none like him, neither after thee. Oh, and 13, as a bonus, I also threw in as a bonus, you didn't ask for this, riches and honors, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all these days. Discernment is a precursor to honor and riches. If you override your discernment all the time, you're not going to receive honor and riches. Some of you will stay impoverished forever if you don't become more discerning. Another class. With your money, whenever you spend your money, listen to your heart. Before you lay down those hard-earned bucks to buy something, what does your heart say? Stop and consult your heart. How do you feel about buying this? Nah, because once you give it, it's gone. And many people override their discernment. They get into financial deals that are bad, and some because they didn't know that they were supposed to listen to their heart. You know, and the salesman on the other end, he laid it all out. Man, it looked good. It sounded good. I didn't realize, though, that I was in bondage for 30 years or something. And my heart was telling me, okay, how many marriage fights have been over this? He said, honey, I don't feel right about this. I said, oh, come on. This is a good deal. I don't know, just something about it. I don't feel good about this. What is your heart saying? It's very important. Malachi 3:18. We're looking at things to discern. First one we looked at, difference between discern good and bad. Then shall you return, Malachi 3:18, if you missed it, and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Shouldn't that be obvious? No, it's not. If it was obvious, you wouldn't need discernment. You wouldn't need supernatural revelation from God if it was obvious. So, because it says it this way, to be able to discern between the righteous and the wicked, it's not obvious. You're going to have to be able to hear discernment and let God speak to you. And it says, that's wicked. Stay away. Touch not. Okay? It goes on. So that you can discern between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Not everybody that says they're a servant of the Lord is. That's why we need discernment. Can you beginning to see how important this topic is? To discern between them that serve God and those that don't. Now, I've really learned some good lessons over the years of being pastor. And one of the things I look a lot at is people's hearts. Is their heart in it? Do they delight in serving God? Now, if you've been at a job for 20 years, if I came and visited you on your job and was with you and watched you, you probably could say, you know, I've been around this person for a while. Their heart's not into it. You'd be able to pick that up at work, right? When somebody's heart was in it or when it wasn't. By the way, is the job you're doing, is your heart in it? Are you working as unto the Lord? Is your heart in it? It's obvious. To a good pastor, it's also obvious the condition of somebody's heart. You may not be able to see everything that's going on, but they can tell whether their heart is in it or not, whether they're just acting. You know, a lot of people learn the language, but they don't care. You can stick around something a while and learn all the buzzwords and the language. Yeah, but you know what? Their heart's not in it. I never hear them being convicted of anything. I never hear them repent of anything. We need to be able to discern between the person that serves God and the person that doesn't. That's important. That'll protect you. Ezekiel 44:23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. We're to grow in discernment so that we can tell the difference between something that's unclean and clean. Sunday morning, you're getting dressed, getting ready to go to church. The telephone rings. I'm not picking on any mothers or grandmothers, but the call comes and says, oh, honey, come have lunch with us today. You don't come. You don't love me. You don't care for me. Okay? What do you do? Say, Mom, I will come visit you after church. Okay? There are decisions that we have to make that are sometimes between good and good. The devil, you know, after a little bit, maybe he can trip you up with things that are bad, but then he'll start bringing you choices between good and good. And you have to discern. God, what would you have me to do? Speak, Lord. Servant listens. To be able to discern. Here it says between unclean and clean, but there are times in your life you have to discern even between things that are good. Ecclesiastes 8:5. Whosoever keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Discerning the time and judgment. Anybody ever put their foot in their mouth? That would be not discerning time or judgment. You say, well, bad, I put my foot in my mouth, but I went and did it again and put both feet in. You know, that happens sometimes to us. You say, you know, I wish I wouldn't have said what I did when I said it. And now what you maybe discern may have been absolutely correct, but the time to share it could have been completely wrong. Proverbs 7:7. I beheld among the simple ones and discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. Now here it shows you the simple spirit, but this simple spirit fights against discernment. To be able to discern among the youth, other people. Okay. Quickly, how do we grow in discernment? Let me give you some things. I think you can see from just a few scriptures the importance of discernment and how we're to grow in that. The best way I know of growing in discernment is, number one, is deliverance. There are a lot of people who say, I have discernment of spirits. I said, I don't. I ask them, you do deliverance? Oh, no. I said, well, then you don't have discernment of spirits. God's not going to give somebody a gift to do something that they're not doing. And if they're not doing deliverance, they're not going to be able to... This is how they learn to grow in discernment. How are they going to discern a witch coming into their congregation if they can't discern spirits? There are a lot of times those in our churches, our brothers and sisters, that if they're not practicing deliverance, their discernment is going to be much less than the Christian that is doing deliverance. Some of the spirits to get deliverance on, the spirit of foolishness, the simple spirit, alcohol spirits, drug spirits, cutting ungodly soul ties, cords of control, getting free from anybody that's controlling you, dominating you. Okay? Grow that way. The longer you're in deliverance, the clearer the voice of the Lord will go. You'll hear God's voice. You'll hear discernment. It's taught in God's Word. Hebrews 4:12. You want to grow in discernment? Start reading the Bible. Now, wherever I go, I always hear people say, I don't hear God's voice. Well, He's not talking then. People often, we live in a day and age that everybody puts great importance on hearing God speak. You know, if you don't hear Him speak, He's not talking. Because God can speak very plain, and He can speak loud enough for anybody to hear. I mean, even the donkeys heard God speak. Okay? If you're not hearing God speaking, He's not talking. So what do? You read your Bible. He will speak to you. But see, we want it instantly. We don't want it. You start reading your Bible, God will speak to you in between the lines. And especially for those of you that if you're looking to hear something audibly or whatever, and you're not tuned in that way, start reading the Bible, and you'll start recognizing the voice of the Lord. The Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As you grow, as you become skilled in the Word of God, the Word of God is a discerner and the thoughts and intents of the heart. First of all, whose heart? Your own. When you read the Word of God, first of all, it's for you. Then it could be for somebody else if you're responsible for somebody else. Watch out for all the people that come and say, God has a word for you, for me. Now, people come and say, do you think so-and-so is a prophet? I said, no. Why don't you? They said, thus saith the Lord. I said, well, if they heard from God so clearly, their life wouldn't be in such a mess. Because the first thing that if God was going to speak to somebody, the first thing He does is He speaks to them about them. He speaks to you about you. Look out for the people who their life never changes, that they always have something for somebody else. But if their life is in disorder, if their finances are in disorder, if they're on their 16th marriage, you could go on and on. Ask a few probing questions of how their life is, and you can tell whether or not they really hear from God that good. And if they do, then, okay, listen. We better grow in discernment. You know, because you're marked, especially if you're in deliverance, you're marked of the enemy. The enemy's going to send people into your life to entice you away. To entice you away from what God called you for, to entice you away from the Lord. Well, it is just absolutely essential that we grow in discernment. Another thing is that discernment is taught through example. Taught through example is the last one. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Conversation doesn't mean talk. It means their manner of life. How do they live? Okay. Every one of us need people in our lives that we can say, you know what, I know that person. I trust them because their life shows it. whose faith follow. Philippians 3:7, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, this Paul saying, you know, you didn't listen to me when I told you, beware, beware. It's taught through example. Be followers of those that you know have discernment. Let me put it another way. If you ain't got discernment, you better be getting real close to somebody that you know does. Okay? And you'll learn by being around them. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Somebody once shared this with me, living on the coast. It's a great example. I don't know how many surfers we have here, but there's a good example of that. And this way it was told to me that they have a name for the professional surfer called a mossback, named after a mossback turtle who got to be got so old that the moss started growing on the back of his shell. Well, if you watch surfers, they'll go out there and they paddle out there and waves come through and there's a timing to things, because you can get on the wrong wave and it's just a dud and you've wasted all that time. You got to paddle back out. And so the young surfers, they learned. They said, hey, watch that guy over there, because when he moves, you move. You know, and he said, and then pretty soon the wave comes along and he's just bobbing up and down on the waves. And pretty soon, nothing's going on. This guy starts paddling. And he's paddling. He goes, why is he paddling? I don't know. He does, because he's learned how to recognize the next wave coming. And by the time that wave catches up with him, he's already got his momentum going and he rides good waves. And the young surfers learn how to recognize when to catch the wave by watching the person that's already been doing it. I put it another way. If you want to learn to fly an airplane, go learn from somebody who's already flying one, not from somebody who just read a book and can tell you everything about flying. Give you another example. Would you have a doctor do a heart transplant on you if you go into the operation room and say, Doc, you know what you're doing? He says, oh yeah, I read about this. Read this in my journal. No, you say, how many of these have you done successfully? Right? You want to know, do you have some experience? Can I follow your faith? Yeah, it's sad to say this, but this is even in our own work here in deliverance. We have, and it should be obvious that the enemy wants to corrupt deliverance and ruin deliverance, is that there are all kinds of professionals in deliverance who don't do deliverance. But they wrote a book, because there's a lot of money in writing a good book. And they read somebody else's book and they just reworded a little bit and wrote a book. Like wherever I go, I meet professionals in deliverance. I start saying something about deliverance. They go, oh yeah, I know all about that. I've read all the books. Oh, you have? Have you done any? Oh, well, I don't need to. I read all the books. Oh, okay. Well, you know, when you there are all kinds of self-appointed professionals. You know, ask them, well, what have you been delivered of? Tell me about your deliverance. They can't teach you what they haven't received in themselves. I mean, there has to be some kingdom that God, something that God's worked in their life. Okay? Ask some questions before you submit to somebody. What is your experience? What makes you a qualified deliverance pastor or leader or teacher? That had cut out a whole bunch of problems that is in the deliverance movement. If I call it that, it's not really a movement. There's a whole difference in between being a pastor of a deliverance church and somebody who teaches deliverance and they've never pastored anything. It's completely different. And you just need to be wise and discerning. And it doesn't mean that there's not good stuff in their books. Just like when you eat a fish, you come to a bone, spit it out. Okay? Don't swallow the bones. Eat the meat, spit out the bones. Now, there are some fish that are so bony that they're not worth eating. There are some books that are so bony that they're not worth worth reading. Okay? I don't know who that was for. That wasn't in my notes either. Now, seriously, though, I make my job a lot easier if all of us grow in discernment. And it will protect you. It'll keep you out of a lot of heartache, a lot of loss, a lot of things that the enemy wants to do. So I want to see more growth in discernment. More growth as you pray one for another. Now, when you get ready to go to church, if you know you're going to be doing deliverance, say, Lord, speak to me. Who would you have me to pray for? What would you have me to pray about? Seek God's face before you ever get to church. You know, there was a period about 3 years when my wife and I first got in deliverance. We were going to Assembly of God Church, and he didn't believe in deliverance. But we'd spend the entire morning in prayer before we ever got there, and we'd know the message before we ever got to church. It's Sunday after Sunday. We were right in line. We'd actually know what was going to be taught because God would give it to us, and we'd be studying the verses. And one day my wife said something to the pastor. She said, I knew you were going to preach on that this morning. And the Lord told me, and we were studying and reading it. And he said, it made him so mad that we were given the left foot of fellowship eventually. Invited not to come back because we were too much into deliverance. But, you know, be praying before church. You're members of wherever you're at. You know, grow in discernment. You need to be praying about those who come through the door. Not suspicion, not distance, but one of protection, one of keeping yourself unentangled. Okay? Amen. We get that all on tape, Lynn? Is that about 9? I'm gonna quit there.
You've got about a little less than 10 minutes.
Oh, good. I'll use it.
Okay,
I'll take it. If you gotta go, just blessings on you. We'll see you later. I know it's getting late here. But let's go into a simple prayer, and let me just call out some of the stuff. You know, if this hit home, and there's some things blocking your deliverance, maybe some ungodly soul ties, well, let's break them, and let's call out some of the spirits, such as the alcohol or drugs, and get some deliverance. And also, so let's just pray. Father, we come in your presence tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we desire to hear your voice more clear, especially in this area of discernment, to be able to grow in discernment. Father, we ask for that to be upon each and every one of us. Help us to grow in this area, Lord. Father, set us free tonight from everything that would hinder us from discernment. Every evil spirit that would cause us to override our spirit, that would cause us to quench our spirit, to not listen to it, to not listen to those that are in authority, those that we truly trust. Every evil spirit that's come into us throughout our life that works against us from having discernment, Father, in Jesus' name, we take authority over them and we command that they loose God's people. Father, in Jesus' name, your word declares that we have power over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of his shed blood, I command every evil spirit that is at work, that is in anybody tonight, that is trying to block your discernment, any alcohol spirits, any drug spirits, you know, the spirit of the stupor, the simple spirit, the foolish spirit, you loose God's people and come out right now. Just take a deep breath. You know what you have. You tell it to go. Just breathe it out. In Jesus' name, every spirit that fights against you having discernment, causing you to override it, in Jesus' name, doubt, unbelief, distrust, every evil spirit, come out right now. Loose God's people in Jesus' name. I loose a discerning spirit in Jesus' name. The power of the Holy Spirit to go and cleanse every spirit in the heart. Hardened heart, bound emotions, broken heart, bitterness, resentment. Come on, right now, move out. Unforgiveness, anger toward another, unforgiveness toward another. I just can't forgive them. Come on, in Jesus' name, you demons, loose God's people. Forgive them. Ask God to forgive you in Jesus' name. Come on, all those spirits, bitterness, resentment, hard heart, embittered spirit. Embittered, angry with God, angry with others, angry with your parents in Jesus' name. Every embittered spirit that just keeps you hardened in Jesus' name. Come on. Bound emotions in Jesus' name. Every spirit that hardens the heart, come out of the heart now in Jesus' name. Every spirit that attacks the mind and dulls the mind in Jesus' name. Come on. All spirits of the occult, witchcraft, antichrist spirits that blind our eyes. Every demon that blinds our eyes and blocks our hearing in Jesus' name. We can't hear the things of God, can't see the things of God. Come on, right now, move out. Move out. every spirit, the spirit of the hardened heart, come on, move whatever's there, anything in Jesus' name that blocks us from discernment. Come on, the spirit of traditions, we've always done it this way. Come on, move out. Move. Insecurity. Come on, I always want to do it the same way. Come on, I don't want to do anything new. Come on. Insecurity, inferiority, all those spirits in Jesus' name. Can't trust anything new. Come on, move. Move out, demons. Just breathe them out. Come on, loose God's people right now. Move any and all spirits that block the discernment, that quench the Holy Spirit, every spirit that convinced you to override your spirit in Jesus' name. The spirit of deception, every deceiving spirit, every lying spirit, every spirit of error, stumbling in judgment. Come on, move out. Come on right now, move out. The stumbling in judgment, unforgiveness towards self, beating yourself up because you knew better. Come on. You come out right now. Come on. The unforgiveness of self, guilt, shame, condemnation, you come out right now. Move out. Let's go. Every spirit of guilt, shame, self-condemnation, how could I do such a thing? How could I be so stupid? Come on, all you demons that beat yourself up because you didn't catch it, you didn't see it. Come on, calling yourself names. Move, come on, move. Self-flagellation, move out, come on. Every spirit, move, come on. Calling yourself names. Hatred of self, being angry with yourself, forgive yourself. Come on, let's go. Move out, demons, move out. Drug spirits, alcohol spirits, spirits that dull the mind, spirits that dull the senses, in Jesus' name. Control, cords of control from others. Anybody that's controlling you, with any fear of man, the fear of what they would say, fear of what they would think, fear of what they will do, so I didn't want to offend them. Come on. Fear of offending people. Come on, let's go. Move out, demons. Come on, that's fear of man. Better to fear God than man. Come on, let's go. Move. I will not fear what man can do unto me. In Jesus' name, everything that's on top, loose God's people. Just take a deep breath. Tell them to go. Tell them to come out. Lord, we loose your angels. Escort the demons out of here where God would have them to go. Out of this building, in Jesus' name. You leave, in Jesus' name. We take authority of you. Come out right now. Move out. Move out quickly. Come on. Move. Everything on top. Antichrist spirits, religious spirits, all the religious spirits, in Jesus' name, that cause you to override your discernment. Come on. Trusting those in authority just because they said to. Blind trust in Jesus' name. Move. Come on. Blind trust without checking it out. Come on. Let's go. Move out. Come on. Trusting. Blind trust in Jesus' name. Come on. All the problems that have come by people trusting prophecies or words from the Lord without praying about it or checking it out themselves to see if it bore witness. Come on. Move out. Come on. Being deceived by false words, by false spirits in Jesus' name. Being deceived by angels of light in Jesus' name. Come on, right now. Move out. Everything on top. Everything that the angels are poking up, you come out right now. Move out. Loose God's people in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that tonight you'll fill each and every one of us full of your Spirit, Lord. Give us a fresh infilling, Lord, a fullness of Spirit, Lord. Help us, Father, to walk close to you, to listen to your voice, to heed your voice, Father, to be led of our spirit, Father, in Jesus' name, to not quench it. Give us all of that, all each and every one of us, this Lord, a fresh anointing as we go out tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you, we thank you, we give you all praise and glory, and we ask for continual help in this area in Jesus' name tonight. Amen and amen. Okay, prayer meeting in the morning, 6 o'clock, 6 a.m.? Okay.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.